Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
Welcome back.
It's great to be back.
How you been?
I've been pretty good, alhamdulillah.
It's always good to see
praise
you.
Praise be to God.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger.
Alhamdulillah. I had a kind of a spontaneous, fortuitous meeting with a young brother from Detroit. And I thought it would really be impactful that we discuss a few of the things that I had discussed with him. And this is a young brother. It kind of relates to my story, coming up and seeing the kind of things in life that I was living, that he's living now and getting out of it. He's having like an awakening. He's experiencing the fruits of Iman when you start to see purpose. But the one thing in particular that he had mentioned is now he wanted to find a masjid to go to. The one masjid that he went to, he was asking questions. He said they're very
rigid in there.
Very rigid. Yeah. And he was asking about prayer. He's slowly getting into prayer. He's not praying 5 times a day. He's kind of off and on.
Right?
And he said, look, if you miss one prayer, you're damned for the hell. He said, they said. And that really scared him. He said, I want to love God. I want to, you know, and he scared the kahuzos out of me. Then I went to called a Bosnian mosque. And the guy said, oh, you don't have to pray 5 times a day. If you go to Jummah, from one Jummah to the next, it wipes away your sins.
So this is the problem. We have this polarization. We have these two extremes going on. And what's really important for people to understand is everyone, you know, Allah, we have to understand, how does Allah deal with people? How is he going to judge people? And our example that we learned from is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. How did he deal with different people? He didn't all of a sudden, when, you know, the first companions, when they accepted Islam, he didn't all of a sudden throw everything on them. And you're like, you know what? Oh, you're engaging in interest? Or you're still drinking? Or you're doing this? Or you got a girlfriend? Or you did some prostitution? You got to get out all of this stuff, otherwise you're going straight to hell. This was not the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, dealt with people. He understood people's circumstances. He understood their backgrounds. He knew where they're coming from. And he used to speak to them in that manner. And what happens is that people, they see things in black and white. Someone enters into Islam. Someone accepts Islam, or someone wants to come back to Islam after all these years of being in, you know, darkness, being very far, doing some, you know, really stuff that they're going to regret later on. We need to deal with them according to their capacity. So if someone is not praying at all, you throw all 5 prayers on them and tell them if you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. Not everyone is motivated that way, right? So the thing is, we need to go back to the Quran. We need to go back to the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, did. And you got to give good news, and you got to give a little bit of a warning too. And that's where the balance really lies. So you tell someone, you know what? You're not praying 5 times a day. You're not praying at all. Okay, start with one. You know, build it up from there. Try do one, do two, do what you think you can. If you can do 3, you can do 4. Okay, keep it consistent for a while. You know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he actually encouraged people. He said that the most beloved actions to Allah are those which are done consistently, even if they be few in number. So consistency is the key. So the thing is, if this guy is not praying, or he just started praying once or twice or something like that, let him get consistent in 2 and then build up from there. Let him get consistent in 4 and then build up from there. But if you put too much pressure on somebody and you tell them, you know what, you put all the rules on them, that's going to mess them up. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people do is, as soon as they take shahada, they declare their Islam, they say, La ilaha illallah, I believe that there's only one God, I'm a Muslim now. They say, okay, you know what, by the way, the next prayer is going to be done in 2 hours. You need to memorize Surah Fatiha, you need to memorize At-Tahiyyat, you need to memorize everything in Arabic. You need to know all the prayers by the time the next prayer is done. That's not true. That's not the way that Allah deals with people. Allah deals with people according to their capacity and their circumstances. Nobody is going to be able to memorize all the prayer stuff in a few hours. Nobody's going to be able to adjust all of a sudden. It takes time. And we need to deal with people in that manner. So this is the problem. The problem that people in different masjids, what they do is they don't look at the individuals and speak to them on a direct level. They need to look at them and say, what is the circumstances of this person? Where are they coming from? What are they capable of? And how can I support them? That's the key. We need to support them and give them good advice with wisdom and advise them in that manner.
So even in a unique situation where the person is bound to go to the club, they're bound to go. You're not changing their mind.
That's it.
So make at least pray before you go.
Absolutely.
You it's don't. Not a bad idea.
That's the way.
Not that you're condoning them going or drinking. You know, but holding on to something of the
thing. I'll tell you from just my own experience. You know, I wasn't always practicing. I used to go to raves, and I remember the one thing I used to do, very weird. I used to actually pray at a rave, right? And that's the one thing I remember. And when I look back on it, I say, you know what? That might have been the one thing that kind of helped me come back to Islam. That I used to remember Allah, like for a moment I would stop and I say, you know what? Am I doing this right thing? You know what? Let me at least remember Allah. Even though I'm in a bad place, I shouldn't be here. Let me at least just think about prayer a little bit. And I think that really did have an effect on me. So we should encourage people. You know, if you're going to go anyways, you're doing some haram, at least do something good in the meantime. Instead of calling them hypocrites and all that, encourage them. And that just may be the catalyst that will actually change them, bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's actually what saved me, was that prayer. And even leaving, that's interesting, you mentioned the rave. I would leave the after party and go pray. It was like around that time, and I go pray Fajr in the car. Eventually I left. Or you kind of, because people get stuck between two worlds, right? Chasing that life, and then it takes time to transition into this way of life. And I remember I would go back, and I would experience, and I'm explaining to him, you know, that good feeling of connecting with your Creator, of doing the ibadah, the worship, and being around good people. Then you kind of go back, you think you're missing something. And I remember going back, and again, it's like God sending you a sign, and me getting stuck in an elevator. And I'm like, oh man, what am I here? I came back here and I'm stuck. It's like, oh man. And I start thinking about the grave.
Yeah.
What when I'm stuck 6 feet under, right?
Absolutely.
You don't get a second chance.
Absolutely.
But it was that prayer. It was holding on to something that finally got me out.
That's and you see, we need to encourage people. You know, a lot of people, they'll discourage them thinking that it's going to encourage them. But, you know, the vast majority of people, they're not going to be motivated by harsh criticism. So, you know, if someone's going and doing some clubbing and then they're doing some prayer, then tell them, you know, do a little bit extra prayer. You know, it might help you. It might help you get through all of this. But instead, a lot of people will go and say the opposite. They'll be like, you know what kind of hypocrite are you? What's the point of praying if you're going to go there? Thinking that all of a sudden that statement is going to get them to wake up and stop going to the club and just start praying. But that's not the way people are motivated generally. Very few people are motivated with really, really harsh criticism. So the way the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to deal with people, he knew who he was speaking with. So every individual was different. If he saw that there was someone who you need to be really tough on him and he's going to change, he would do that. But there are many people out there, you go really tough on them, and you're just going to alienate them. You're just going to go away and say, oh, well, forget this. You know, if you're saying I'm useless, you're saying I'm just worthless. Okay, fine, I am useless, I am worthless, forget all of it. Our goal is to look at people, and especially in today's society, in our culture, people like, you know, struggling with all these things, we need to, you know, understand their struggles and let them know that, you know what, you're not alone, we're here, Allah is there, connect with Him, and you take a few steps, and Allah's going to come even closer to you. That's the key.
We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with more here on the Deen Show.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger.
Back here on the Deen Show, giving a real life example, someone that I had just connected with. And inshallah, the brother sees this program and gets more encouraged.
Inshallah.
He knows who he is, and we're discussing someone who I had a great sit down with. He also had a female companion, and we were, you know, sometimes you in your journey, you have others that are with you in that journey, and I got to talking with that person. Before I get to that, it reminded me of what you said about gauging who you're talking with. And sometimes the tough approach, sometimes depending on who the person is, a little bit more like, that reminded me of Ibn Taymiyyah, where he had a statement talking about sometimes when you have a rough stain on you and you go a little bit rougher, it's not that you're trying to hurt yourself, right? It's just you need a little bit more, you know, a struggle to get that out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So can we equate that with something?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely applies. Yeah.
Yeah. So how would you now, what kind of advice would you give to a person who's coming over, but there are certain things, we obviously know the prayer, you know, the first thing is to establish that direct connection with your Creator. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that obviously, you know, there is the five daily prayers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not doing them when you want. Gauging, how do you now, what do you usually tell people? Then maybe a person has a girlfriend. Maybe that person, you know, how do you motivate them? What do you, words of encouragement, do you like to kind of help to facilitate change, to help facilitate them moving towards, you know, the correct path?
What I tell them, you know, it's they need to focus on the priorities and they need to understand what their priorities are. So the first and most important priority is having a clear understanding of that we have a purpose in this life. Understanding that the Quran is the word of God, understanding that God sent us revelation, and how we, you know, understand this message, how we get some of the doubts out, how we get a clear understanding that we're not just here to just have fun. There's a purpose to our life. That's the first thing, right? Once that becomes clear, if someone's struggling with, you know, accepting all of that, they should start asking questions. They should start reading some things about some confusions they had or whatever it may be. Once they got that down, their belief in Allah is firm, their belief in God is clear, their belief in the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is clear. Now they start moving to, okay, how do I connect with my Creator? Okay, I'm going to start praying. Okay, but I'm not just going to do formulaic prayer. I want to connect with God. So tell them, you know, start understanding the meaning of prayer. Start understanding the deeper dimensions, the inner dimensions of what prayer is going to do, because that's going to have an effect on you. If you just say the words only, you still took some time out of your life. Inshallah, you fulfill the obligation of prayer, but the amount of benefit that you get is not going to be at the same level, right? So what you want to do, the priorities, once you've got the faith down, the basics of belief down, then you want to do the most important actions. The most important actions are things like the five pillars of Islam, which prayer is one of them. Prayer, fasting, giving your zakah, and going for pilgrimage, you know, when you're able to go. And then staying away from things which are 100% clear-cut prohibited in Islam. And what you got to do is you got to focus on the things that you know you can start doing now. So you got a girlfriend, okay. It's hard for you to let go of her, okay. Can you talk to her? Can you convince her? You know what? Why don't you consider Islam? Maybe this will be a great opportunity. Or, you know, if you consider marrying her, talk to her family, talk to her parents, and ask yourself: are you ready to get married? Are you ready to get married? Are you actually you have the potential to get married right now, or you don't? And then you start analyzing the wisdom behind, you know what? Well, why is this prohibited in the first place? There's got to be some wisdom behind it. So when you understand why Allah instituted marriage and why He prohibited having relationships outside, the more you reflect upon it, the more you understand that a relationship was supposed to have a serious commitment. And that commitment is defined through the institution of marriage. I'm going to take this very seriously. Some kids are produced through this, I'm going to take it seriously. My responsibility towards my spouse, it's going to be very serious, right? That's what marriage is about. So when you understand the wisdom behind that, now you're like, you know what? It's not just like, I want to have a girlfriend, I really like this girl, and I know Allah tells me not to, but I still want to do it. Now your mentality starts to change. And you say, you know what? I see the wisdom behind why Allah is telling us to do this. I'm struggling between following my desires and doing what Allah is telling me to do, even though I know it's for my own good. Now I understand it. Now you can actually face that challenge a lot easier. It's like telling someone, you know what, brother, you know, your health is, you're in really bad shape. You need to start eating better. You need to start eating, you know, healthier food. You need to do some exercise. But they don't understand the health the health problems that can arise from it. Once you explain to them, you know what, that type 2 diabetes that you have, it can be reversed if you just change your diet. You know, all the problems and all the issues that you're having health-wise, you know, whatever's going on, a lot of it has to do with your health. If you just make a change, it can potentially solve all these problems. Now that person is more motivated. You know what? It's not just about, oh, well, we should take care of our bodies because Allah said so. Now it's like, you know what? Now I see the greater wisdom behind it. So one of the things I encourage people to do is the areas that they're struggling in, once they identify what are the priorities in Islam, what to focus on first, right? And after you got that down, start to analyze the wisdom behind everything because it's going to help you through that challenge, right? So if you're not praying at all, right? Start praying before you say, I'm going to go to the masjid for every single prayer. Yeah, it's maybe a 30-minute drive to your local mosque. Maybe it's 20 minutes, whatever it is. Start by going once or twice or something like that once a day and start by getting in every single one of your prayers. In the month of Ramadan, So you can't fast all the days in Ramadan. Start with a few and build up from there. Understand the benefits of fasting for your own self-control, your own self-discipline, even your health benefits. And now you become more inclined. You know what? I can do this, or I need to do this, even if I don't feel like it. And that's really what I advise people to do. They need to focus on these things.
What are some of the consequences of not taking this seriously and neglecting these your primary purpose in life?
I mean, the most important consequences are afterworldly consequences. I mean, see, God, we have to go back to the basic principle. God created us for a purpose. There's a reason why we're here. And we have a responsibility. Life is a test. It's just simply, that's just the way it is. That's the way Allah set it up, and there's a wisdom in that. If you mess up on the test because you were lazy, because you didn't want to study, because you were distracted, you're not going to be able to pass that test. And there's very serious consequences for that, right? So Allah's going to hold us accountable for every single thing that we believed right or wrong, and every single thing that we did, good or bad, right? He's merciful, but He's also just, right? So we need to make sure that we're not... we're not excusing ourselves. It's very easy to make excuses for ourselves and not make excuses for other people. And it's supposed to be the opposite. You're supposed to make excuses for other people because you're not going to be held accountable for what on the Day of Judgment for what they're doing. But you shouldn't make excuses for yourself. You should always look and see, are my intentions correct? Am I really doing what I can to my maximum capacity? There are some Muslims who some people accept Islam, and I tell them, I'm like, just take it slow and be consistent in everything. And then I see them like 5 years later, 10 years later. And I'm like, so how are things? How are the prayer and everything? They haven't even learned how to pray yet.
Still in first grade.
Still in kindergarten, right? Mm-hmm. They're still praying. It's, oh yeah, I pray like, once or twice a day. I'm like, when I gave you that advice, take it slow. I mean this slow, yeah. Like,
you wouldn't take it slow with all the other things in life.
We don't have any guidance. We don't have any scholars here to help us. There are some chaplains, in some prisons and all of that, but not up to par. They have no access to knowledge. They have none of these things. And the thing is, these people have been forgotten. And when they send these letters to different masjids, unfortunately, the vast majority of the Islamic centers, they don't respond because they're just not good at responding to their voicemail, or they don't have a secretary working there or something like that. So I get calls from all around the country. I get calls from different cities, non-Muslims calling me and saying, we got some Muslim prisoners here. We heard you guys respond. Can you do something? So we said, we got to do something. So we have this program where we say, okay, you know what? Let's get them some literature. Let's get them some copies of the Quran. Let's get them some books. And these people, mashallah, they devour Islamic books like anything. They ask for a translation of the Quran, then they go, I'm done with that. We send them a copy of Tafsir, explanation of the Quran. We give them books on Hadith. We give them books on Islamic law. They just keep reading everything and say, can you send me more and more and more? So we just keep on sending them more and more literature. We started with our California Islamic University a correspondence program. Said, you know what? Let them take some classes while they're on the inside. It's being called being on the inside, right? Send them some classes. These are 11-week courses that we teach, university style format. I send them a course packet. They're done in 1 week, and they send it back and say, we're ready for the next course. So I mean, these are people who are dead. I mean, they're serious. They made a mistake 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And now they're stuck, and there's nothing that they can do about it.
So you're either going to graduate in prison at becoming a better criminal, maybe a better bank robber, better swindler, whatever the case.
Yeah.
And many people, they end up coming out far worse. But
yep.
This is a great initiative, because with Islam, if you want to decrease the crime rate,
if
you want people coming out with better character, being an asset to society, then...
Exactly. And that's what statistics show. They show that there's a 75% rate of recidivism, which basically means people who get released from prison, they get back into prison within 5 years. 75% is the statistic.
Wow.
And they said the people who generally don't fall in there, the other 25%, it's because of the strong education they received while they were in prison. So education plays a big role. And that's just, they're talking about secular education. Imagine what Islamic education can do for them. It'll revolutionize their lives, and it revolutionizes the lives of people around them. That's why people are accepting Islam. There's not a bunch of missionaries going into the prisons and saying, here's some pamphlets, learn about Islam. It's the inmates themselves who are going and telling everyone about, look at this, Islam is going to change your life. You need this. and people accept.
So there's somebody out there that said, no, you're just making more terrorists.
No, that's...
There's a troll. There's what? There's a few trolls.
There's trolls. What do you say? I try not to feed the trolls always, you know. But yeah, there are people saying that if you look at the principles of Islam and you look at the effects, ask any prison warden, ask anyone who's actually in the prison system, they'll say the best behaved people in prison are the Muslims. The most organized, the most spiritual, the people who do the best for the entire prison, they're the Muslims. You got gangs in there, you got people dealing drugs in there, you got all sorts of riots, all sorts of things going on. The people who avoid that, because it's a very cliquish thing, it's like different groups in prison.
Yeah.
You're part of the Muslim group, they're like, these are the best behaved people, these are the nicest people, these are the people who've reformed themselves, right? And they have a reputation for that. You don't mess with the Muslim either, because these are straight people. They don't want to play around. They're not going to do no drugs. They're not going to sell no alcohol. They're not going to, you know, cause problems or anything like that. They're here to worship. They're here to change their life. They're disciplined people. And that's why people, they're attracted to Islam in prison. Because they're like, you know what? They realize, I don't want to become like an animal. You know, I don't want to be just living my life like this. I did that once. I did that twice. I got caught. Now I'm here. It's time to make a change. And they see Islam makes that change. So anyone who wants to challenge it, just look at the effects of Muslims in prison. That's what really changes people. That's what changed Malcolm X. That's what changed, you know, countless thousands of other people. And that's what changes Muslims who come out now. You can listen to their stories and see exactly what difference it made in their life.
In the last 30 seconds we have, how can people get involved in helping out?
We have a website called linkoutside.com. So they can check out, they can volunteer, they can help write. We have pen pal correspondence. You know, we need donations to send them literature and all of that. The average inmate minimum wage is 14 cents an hour. So they can't even afford any books, right? Oftentimes they need all the resources we can get. So check out our website, linkoutside.com. If you can volunteer, if you can spread the word, if you can donate, if you can help in any capacity, it would be a great thing.
Always a pleasure having you in the program. Thank you very much.
JazakAllah khair. Thank you.
Thank you. Ameen. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Allah, there's only one God and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God and Jesus was his messenger.